But if you've been in this for years, why do you still have so many dollars that you're afraid you don't have enough Bitcoin? And you can spend the Bitcoin and just replace it with dollars.
Have you got your pen and notebook ready?
Brian D. O'Leary Show. Today we're talking Bitcoin with our friend Wesley Schlemmer. What do we do now, Van?
Now we move in.
The Brian D. O'Leary Show, your home for serious content amidst an unserious culture. All right, welcome back to the Brian D. O'Leary Show. We've got Wesley Schlemmer back with us once again. And Wesley, as you remember, is founder, CEO of Bitcoin Bay. Down in Tampa Bay, he's a Bitcoin evangelist, and we'll let Wesley talk a little bit more about that, because you were just getting off the ground last time we had you on, right?
Yeah, no, lots taken shape since then. We've got our 501c3 status, we've got a business network, a bunch of members, we've been doing events, we've got new programs, so it's been a packed year, and we're looking forward to the next one.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about Bitcoin Bay, or bitcoinbay.live is the website that you go to, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Tell us a little bit about
that. .com is a sports gambling website.
Okay.
So that's not us. .live was the one we could afford at the time.
Yeah.
But Bitcoin Bay Foundation, I'm the president of it. We are a nonprofit focused in the Tampa Bay area. So St. Pete, Clearwater, Tampa, Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
We do full spectrum Bitcoin guidance, from one-on-one, group coaching, corporate trainings, helping people set up nodes, hardware wallets, self-custody, pretty much you name it. Then we work with local schools doing guest lectures, club sponsorships, internships, curriculum building.
Wow.
So, our goal is kind of be the brain for Bitcoin in the Tampa Bay area.
Right. Do you any plans to go bigger than outside of the Tampa Bay area? I know you want to turn everybody into Florida man.
We have been working with some of the organizations around the state to coordinate some statewide action. But for right now, we are focused very locally. People do call and ask for advice on nonprofit formations, especially on the Bitcoin side of things. So we definitely do distribute our content. Mm-hmm. To whoever wants it. But right now, since we are still growing, we're focusing our efforts here, and whatever we generate here, we're happy to share.
Yeah, I know in the past you've talked about you started, really, I want to say, it's just a meetup group kind of, right? And are you still doing a lot of that stuff, or just Bitcoin maxis or whatever you call it, we'll meet up?
Yeah, so that's definitely still our bread and butter. We started as a BitDevs, which is the technical side of things.
Okay.
I just joined one day. I am not a technical guy, which I definitely think is beneficial for people who also aren't technical. But we started as a technical meetup. I joined, became friends with the guy who was running it, friends with some other people that I met there. We came together. We started hosting the weekly meetups, more 101 and hands-on and social stuff. And, we've kind of developed that throughout, the past year, and we're going to be getting more involved with people like the Mises Institute, some of the local schools, bring guest speakers in. We've got ranchers now with the Florida Beef Initiative that we've launched.
Right.
But we still are doing our weekly in-person meetups, in-person coordination and, relationships really are kind of the driving force behind, what we do.
Okay. You mentioned the Beef Initiative, and you talked about it on the last show a little bit, and there's several programs similar to that over the United States. Tell us a little more about the Beef Initiative and what you're trying to do and what you're doing specifically Bitcoin related with it. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like Bitcoin and cattle, you say like, oh, that does that work? tell us a little more.
So the Beef Initiative is a global movement. Texas Slim, mm-hmm. I believe, is the one who started that. And we have the Florida Beef Initiative. So, we're affiliated you know, and, you know, it's not, it's, you know, just like Bitcoin is decentralized. So there's beef initiatives, you know, all over the world now. And what it does is it brings beef directly to consumers via Bitcoin. So it's just like your normal butcher box or whatever, but it's local to your area. And really the point behind it is that you know your rancher. You meet him, you shake, you know, there's a saying, shake your rancher's hand. This is kind of the Beef Initiative motto. It's that in-person relationship. And what you're doing there is you are securing your food supply by knowing who's producing it. And then also you're helping the rancher by, you know, giving them a money that can't be debased and is able to be transferred digitally. So, you know, back in, you know, the trying times of about 100 years ago, you know, farmers stopped taking the paper currency because it wasn't worth anything. So we want to make sure that the alternative payment rails are set up ahead of time.
So all the commerce is done in Bitcoin on both ends?
On the beef, for the beef initiative, yeah. We purchase directly from the rancher with Bitcoin. And it's up to them if they want to choose to hold it in Bitcoin or trade for cash to, you know, pay their bills. But that's kind of what we're hoping to do with Bitcoin Bay, is create the circular economy where that rancher can buy feed or pay his workers in Bitcoin as well. So he doesn't have to move out of Bitcoin into cash to, in order to keep doing his business.
Okay. And you mentioned this circular economy. And I know that you had some stories where in the past where you're, you know, say going out for drinks or whatever and tip the bartender, I remember you saying, in Bitcoin, and you get him all set up, and you know, commerce between friends and consulting and this, that, and the other is all you're trying to get people on the Bitcoin network. How's that going?
It's going.
The adoption.
You know, yeah. So as our member base has grown, we found that about 15 to 20% of our members own businesses already. So, you know, I kind of default them into accepting Bitcoin if you're one of my guys. But what's been cropping up are people, well, hey, my sister has extra chickens, you know, so they lay a bunch of eggs. So, you know, we have eggs in Bitcoin that you can get at our meetups. We've got beef jerky. We have a person who does HVAC service, roof inspecting, mechanics. So we don't really have like the sexy like bars and restaurants and movie theaters, but I got my AC fixed from a Bitcoiner.
Okay.
You know, we're able to start getting the basic services done in Bitcoin. And it's definitely been slow. But those bartenders that we tipped a year ago at $15,000 a coin are quite happy with those tips since they've held them. Now that it's up three times since then, pretty much.
Right. I think as we're recording right now, around 40K US. Who knows? By the time you hear this episode, it could be way down or way up. Who knows? It's just kind of the nature of what's going on, when, particularly with the economy in itself. Yeah, and I've noticed myself, you know, you got me into really believing in it, and I haven't gone too far, but my main kind of way of dealing in Bitcoin now is through Fountain.fm. Which I'm not sure if you were the one who turned me on to it, but certainly somebody within the Tom Woods School of Life did, and or a couple people, and that has been like a godsend as far as just kind of, all right, well, people appreciate you for your podcast. So Fountain.fm is just a podcast app, and you get paid in Bitcoin, small amounts, for listening. You can tip a creator or tip a commenter with small amounts of Bitcoin. And, you know, it's like, man, I've just like built up this stack of Bitcoin. I started with zero, like nothing. And I've got it up to like over, I don't know what it was at some point, 160,000 sats, which is, you know, only like 40 or 50 bucks. But when you're dealing with that in that realm, you don't, like you're saying, like, okay, well, what, 3 years ago, that would have been a few dollars, maybe like a couple dollars. And now it's like 50 or 60. And so now I feel a little more comfortable. Like, oh, I'm going to tip somebody 1,000 sats or 5,000 sats, which to me, 5,000 or 1,000 seems like a lot. But if you translate it to USD, it's not very much at all. It's a, you know, 40 cents or whatever it might be. I don't know exactly. But then if you have that later on, when Bitcoin grows, as we expect it to, that little bit of money that you have is going to be worth a lot more, you know, because we, you know, even though I consider myself quite a late adopter, I'm still pretty early in the game, I have a feeling, you know, so. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would, if you're still ahead of the ETFs, so, mm-hmm. you know, it's, I would definitely consider you early. And so it's very powerful, you know, fountain. And what's come since we've last spoke is a thing called Noster,
mm-hmm.
Which is notes and other stuff through relays. So it's like, it's a decentralized communications layer. And just like you can stream this podcast sats while you listen, you can zap people on Noster. If they put a post, it's, you know, the most basic use right now is a Twitter replacement. Mm-hmm. So you have your timeline and you see people, their post, and you're like, I really like this. Here's 1,000 sats. They're starting, you can now stream on Noster as well. And you can host, essentially what our Twitter spaces, they're called nests.
Oh, really?
So you're able to do all of this stuff over there as well. It's not just the Fountain podcasting app now, it's all the social media layer that's being built out. And it's the exact same thing. And for a podcaster who started with nothing, and, you know, and if I'm just doing this and, you know, 160,000 sats, you know, that's not nothing, especially a year from now. I mean, that could buy you a new mic setup. You know, I mean, that's something that you're able to actually use to, you know, improve your craft because people found value in it.
Yeah. And it's called the value for value model. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I'm kind of an evangelizer for Fountain because they've just spread the reach of these podcasts. And it really started almost with the podcast we had with you last time. It became, so I did a small promotion for the podcast, put in a few bucks. And that way I am actually paying people to listen to Wesley talk about Bitcoin. And then what I can also do, and I did do, is like Wesley gets a piece of that for being my guest, mm-hmm. and which will happen again here when I get this set up. And so everybody wins. Like everybody hears about it. And it became my biggest podcast. And over there on Fountain, it is, you know, a lot of Bitcoin people are into it just because they know about it. And so I'm trying to get out the word, and I'll put a code in the show notes if you want to sign up for it, because they just launched version 1.0. It's all in beta testing. And then so the app, if you listen to podcasts on your mobile phone, like every app is buggy at some point, and Fountain was no exception. But now it's, I'd say it's one of the better apps. And I like being able to, like, all right, well, let's see if I can find Wesley on any other podcast. So I just search and then find and tip the guy for having my friend on. And so it all works. It's like the circular economy that you're talking about, mm-hmm. in the digital realm. But I think with Bitcoin Bay and Bitcoin Bay Live and all that stuff, you're trying to do it really in the physical world as opposed to the digital world, which I think Bitcoin is, well, if it's not established, it's known about and people can do commerce that way in some way, shape, or form. But getting it into a usable everyday currency is really your mission and purpose, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah, no, that's definitely, you know, one of our big goals. And like I said, we want to be the brain for Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
in the area. And what that will look like in 1, 3, 5 years is going to depend on the market. You know, I mean, we can say that it's imperative that everyone is taking Bitcoin at their stores. But if that's not the most valuable way for the people in our area to protect their wealth and to use Bitcoin, then okay, well, we have to adapt to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we incorporate a lot of community feedback into what we do. So I do quarterly reviews, and actually tonight we're having our yearly review and yearly planning session, because I don't want to do this if nobody wants it, you know?
Right.
Like there's no reason to produce a product if nobody's going to buy it.
Right.
And so definitely the digital way, the digital space, obviously it's cyber money, you know, so the cyber economy needs, you know, it fits well. And if you're listening to the podcast already, you might as well use Fountain and get paid to do it. This is not a Fountain episode, but, you know, it empowers micropayments and, you know, the digital creator economy. So if you're able to do things and I mean, you could post, you know, if you're a writer and you're posting an article, mm-hmm. you could charge 1,000 sats to read it. And that's, you know, 20 something cents.
Right.
You know, it's no big deal, or 40 cents now. So, you know, it allows for micropayments and things that weren't, you know, feasible on the old payment rails where, you know, like, I'm not going to like, but I have to go bring, I have to put my credit card information to pay you a quarter. Like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Right. That was the biggest objection to, or still probably the biggest objection to paywalls and stuff on the internet, is because nobody wants, you know, it's like they're loaded with transaction fees and pain in the neck. And like, is my quarter, like literal quarter, going to go through on like Apple Pay or whatever it might be? And it's like, that's clunky, but with value for value and the Lightning Network of Bitcoin, it's not necessarily, it could be up to the creator, but it's more up to the listener or the reader that you're talking about, to in turn, like, all right, what is the value here? We're still trying to establish the value of Bitcoin as not only a currency, but as a platform and usability and all that stuff. So all this kind of pays into it, which kind of brings me to the other side of Bitcoin, where people are the hodlers, hold on for dear mm-hmm. life or whatever it stands for, where they collect, then I want to grow their stack, but aren't using. So mm-hmm. you're creating a use case for Bitcoin and I believe why it will be more valuable in the future, because people actually use it. And it's not just this store of digital gold that you don't use. You use it as a it's a commodity, essentially, mm-hmm. which gold is more or less turned into over the years, even though it was once money. So any thoughts there?
Right. Yeah. There's you touched on a hot topic in the Bitcoin space, is hodling using. And for those who don't know where hodl came from, a dude was drunk on Reddit. Some guy asked what to do when during a crash, and he went to say hold, but he said hodl. And,
okay.
You know, thus thus it was born. But you know, it was like, don't sell. Like, look, just like, just because the price is tanking, like, don't sell, just quit freaking out, keep holding on, it'll be fine. But it's turned into I'm never selling this. This is for my grandkids.
Right.
Which, like, there's nothing wrong with setting up, you know, for generational wealth. I mean, this is one of the best this is one of the best assets in the world to store your value in, and self-custody. But if you don't want this to go to the same way as gold, where it's just locked up in vaults places and nobody uses it, then it has to be used. So, you know, people get very upset whenever you say use the Bitcoin. It's like, well, I'm never getting rid of this. I'm like, okay, well, if you're afraid of not having enough Bitcoin, you still have too many dollars.
Mm.
You know, and for new people who are just coming in, just buy and hold and accumulate. Because, you know, as you are coming in, you know, it's more valuable for you to be stacking right now than it is to be spending. Mm-hmm. But if you've been in this for years, why do you still have so many dollars that you're afraid you don't have enough Bitcoin? And you can spend the Bitcoin and just replace it with dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has, you know, a Bitcoin denominated wealth value, whether or not it's in 100% dollars or 100% Bitcoin. If I have 5 Bitcoin stored in Bitcoin, I have 5 Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. If I have $220,000 in cash, I have 5 Bitcoin worth of cash.
Right.
So
now,
it's not like, you know, right? So it's getting kind of that point across to people that, like, you currently have the max amount of Bitcoin you can have in wealth at this moment. Whether or not you choose to store it in stocks and gold and house and cash is up to the individual. But when you're spending dollars, those dollars could have been Bitcoin. Ergo, you're spending Bitcoin.
Mm.
You know, so we are very much trying to break that hodl mentality, because it doesn't work. It doesn't progress the situation, because businesses don't take Bitcoin, because nobody spends Bitcoin, because businesses don't take Bitcoin, you know, and it's just this loop that we get caught in. And, you know, it kind of annoys me because I'm like, you're making me do your work. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to spend your Bitcoin for 50 years, that means somebody else has to go out and create that demand for those businesses to take Bitcoin so you can then go spend it whenever you want to. Mm. So it may be harsh, but I consider it lazy and selfish and kind of dumb because you're not actually thinking through this. And if you're so scared about having enough Bitcoin, get rid of your dollars. Just get more Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're clearly holding dollars still because you're spending the dollars. When I have a big expense, I have to sell Bitcoin because it's my money.
Right.
You know, just like if I'm selling my dollars to pay my credit card bill. Right. If all of my money is in Bitcoin, I have to spend my money. It's money. You know, it's not gold. It's not a store of value. That's one pillar of money. You have your unit of account, your medium of exchange, and your store of value. And it kind of goes up, you know, from store to medium to unit of account. But, you know, we're very early. We're very early in the monetization cycle of this. So I understand what people are like, well, I'm not going to spend it because you'll end up spending 20,000 Bitcoin for two pizzas. And then, you know, 10 years later, that's $1 billion. So I don't know.
You wasn't know, it's, that one of the original the original case uses? It, or, yeah. Was it 20,000 Bitcoin?
It was like 20,000 Bitcoin. Yeah. But don't cry for the guy. He's the one who invented GPU mining, okay. I believe. Yeah. So he was like, please, somebody take this freaking coin. I need, you know, I want to make, you know, I want to transact with this. This is money. I want to spend
it. And it was really kind of what you're talking about here, getting it out into the literal economy that started the ball rolling, in other words. So you're kind of encouraging folks to use their Bitcoin. But again, you have problems because a lot of businesses, whether it's either online or certainly physical, it's a lot harder to do transactions at any given store. One, because people don't want to put forth the effort to even realize it. And, you know, they don't want to necessarily get burned in this economy, which is already tough anyway, with no matter what you're transacting in. You don't know where that money is going to just disappear to the next day. So any progress there is in getting different businesses on board? Are there any particular businesses other than Beef Initiative, Farmers Market, and the Bitcoin meetups that you see that are really embracing this technology and money?
Yeah, definitely like e-commerce. You know, the online storefronts, the online consulting or services, digital marketplaces are using digital money more so than the physical spaces. Mm-hmm. Surprise. But you know, as we're moving into, you know, you have QR codes for your menus and you can order on there and everything's being done digitally. I mean, you enter that point where it is becoming, I mean, your dollars are digital already. Unless you've got paper in your hand, you're already interacting with a digital medium in order to transact. So what we see from the businesses are three main things. Mm-hmm. Storage, taxes, and usage. People are scared of the taxes, and I tell them it's cash. They don't want to store it. They are worried about having to, you know, if it's not your keys, it's not your coin, so you're responsible for your own money. And I'm like, again, it's cash. Like, what's in that safe back there?
Yeah, if you had a dollar, look, just take $1, you lose the dollar, you lost the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're afraid. And so they're afraid because it's typically in bigger chunks than petty cash in a cash register, that it's more like credit card sized transactions is what we're really talking about here, I think. And that becomes a little more anxiety provoking. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if I'm buying half a cow from a rancher, you know, that's $2,000.
Okay.
You know, and so that's a chunk. But, you know, if we have a coffee shop, and I think what happens is, like, people are like, well, I have to move all of my business onto Bitcoin. They're like, well, no. Like, we're still so early that 2% of your transactions are going to be in Bitcoin. And depending on your margins, you could just hold that in Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like it really will be more like just the petty cash in the register to start with. Assuming we continue to do a good job, you know, it'll obviously go up. But, you know, to start with, it's going to be a couple guys a week. I mean, and we would host our meetups there. So, you know, then you kind of do get into the bigger bills. But I mean, if you have a restaurant of 30 people and we're 10 of them, you know, for those 2 hours, we were 30% of your transactions. You know, like, is that going to make or break your weekly volume? You know, so there's a lot of just a mindset that kind of needs to change around it. And what we have found for that helps businesses the most is like, look, just ring it up as cash. This is digital cash. You know, the receipt, you say it's a cash receipt, it's been paid, there you go. And that helps them with their accounting side and, you know, kind of allays, you know, like, okay, wait, all right, I know how to handle cash. You know, right. I know how to handle this. Okay, I have to protect it with a safe until I take it to the bank, or, you know, in this case, it would be an exchange. You know, so it, whenever you kind of get that point across, it does help a little bit. But, you know, they got a lot on their plate, businesses. And if people aren't willing to spend it, if people aren't going to them and asking if they can take it, then why would they even bother going through, you know, this headache in the first place?
Right.
Which is why I argue with the hodlers.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And it reminds me, I saw some Instagram video the other day. This gold miner guy has, I don't know, there's probably a bunch of them out there, but, you know, gold mining today, you're pulling out like sand, and maybe like a small nugget the size of like a thumbtack would be huge, right? So he goes to Wendy's or one, you know, some fast food place and hands them what would be, I don't know, 40-100 bucks worth of gold. Said, will you take this? And the woman running the cash register is like, I don't know what this is. Like, we can't take this. And then the manager comes out, he hands her like, what, you know, the meal, say, was 10 bucks or whatever. He hands her, you know, just to kind of see this moving, to see if we could get gold in the economy once again, hands her like some stuff he had mined. And the manager was like, oh yeah, we can take this. And she just takes her hand. She probably then takes the gold, puts it in her pocket, pays the cash to the till. Right. It's what how I imagine that kind of thing would go. And maybe that's an approach for the Bitcoin, and which brings up another question I had. Are there out there right now point of sale systems, in particular at retail, that can accommodate Bitcoin and shopping carts online that will accommodate Bitcoin? I know there are. I don't know how well they work. Or do you have any idea like where people should go if they want to?
Yeah. Yeah. So online, there's Shopify plugins. There's WooCommerce if you use WordPress.
Mm.
And there are physical point of sale systems. We've got one down here in Venice. They're called Byte Federal. Mm. And it looks just like the normal terminal that they'll come to your table with, and you tap your card on, and it spits out a receipt. And, you know, what does is it connects with your wallet, and then that can go back with, you know, into their system, and they'll swap it for dollars if you want.
Do you have a physical card, or are you tapping some code?
So there are some cards. There's a Tap Signer and Sats card that are physical storage. But for this, you know, if you have a wallet that's NFC enabled, I mean, you can just tap your phone.
Okay.
And pay that bill. Yeah, those are, it is very early, you know, because Toast and Square are kind of the main POS systems. Then you have Stripe and all of that. And they're competitors, essentially. They don't like, you know, they don't want to integrate a new payment rail because Visa pays them. MasterCard, right. These cards pay them to put them on their service. So Bitcoin takes fees away from these other services. So
yeah, it's almost almost a case of bad timing to some degree, because there was a lot of push with those small kind of agile point of sale systems over the last, 10, 15 years to get them into stores. And all you got to do, and then with that chip on your card, all you got to do now is tap, that kind of thing, just the ease of transaction. And they're all set up for your Visa, MasterCard, et cetera.
Right.
So it's like a case of bad timing. And then trying to horn in on that is tough in this economy. But where you got the Bite Federal and Tap Signer and Sats Card and stuff, and you know what's the, I mean, do you have any insight on like how that those businesses are growing or moving or?
Yeah, so there is some competition in the POS space, but really what it comes down to is the restaurant owner. I mean, if you go to the restaurant owner and you're like, "Hey, here's a $200 device," no, it doesn't integrate with your current system. You know, it's kind of a tougher sell.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate
because you got to run two POS system, which is a pain in the neck for whoever's running the books the next day. Or
exactly. So it's that's not kind that of a
hard,
barrier.
But not that hard, right? I mean, it could be.
I mean, if there's enough demand for it, I mean, if you're going to a business and you're like, "Hey, I run an organization that has 40 people meeting weekly, and we host two socials a month. And if you take Bitcoin, we will add you to our rotation. And we will come here and there will be 30 people that will spend Bitcoin here. We will bring you 30 people every 2 weeks if you take Bitcoin." Now, that's a lot more attractive. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll spend $200 to have a new customer base that's going to come here on a regular basis. Are you kidding me? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, you know, they're business people. You know, they respond to demand. If there's enough demand for it, they will make the investment required to meet that demand. Provided that the investment, you know, isn't too high and the demand is high enough that, you know, we can pay. I mean, we'll have 10 people, and if we're all spending $40, you know, that's $400. Sometimes what we'll do is we will have one person pick it up. Like, "Hey, like, we can give you guys all of the Bitcoin, you know, one tab, like, we'll pay you in Bitcoin, or you can have the cash."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the person who decides to do that, you know, is essentially, we all send him Bitcoin, and you know, if they say no, then he pays the bill with cash. So he just bought $400 worth of Bitcoin that night.
Mm.
You know, so it's an opportunity for, you know, people to stack as well. And we have had servers be like, "Oh well, I'll pay the bill. Just send me the Bitcoin. Sure. Why not?" You know, so just like that Wendy's, you know, with the gold.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, who you're working with and, you know, the things that they want.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I guess just getting it more front of the mind for folks. So I got a few more minutes, I imagine, but I had a question that came up based on our last conversation on here where we talked about other cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned Monero and maybe a couple other ones. You know, there's since last, almost a year, I've seen a lot more people that have just more or less rejected other cryptos altogether, become Bitcoin mm-hmm. maximalists or whatever. I remember the last time you said, "Yeah, I have a little Monero just in case," kind of thing. What happens? Where's your thoughts there on Monero and some of these other currencies?
Yeah. So there's always new projects popping up, but it all depends on, you know, like, what do you want?
Mm.
Are you looking for freedom money? That's not what Solana is. That's not what Ripple is. That's not what Cardano, any of these other random coins are. I don't use Monero as a store of value.
Mm.
I do sometimes use it as cash.
Mm.
So I, you know, and especially as fees rise, which they have been, if anyone's been, you know, trying to transact recently, it's gotten quite expensive.
On Bitcoin,
yeah. Because volume has gone up. You know, so people are competing for block space now.
Okay.
And a big, I don't know if I was a driver or an initiator or the spark of that was the NFT people discovered ways to mint their tokens on Bitcoin. Now, there's a lot of debate on the technical side of whether or not they're actually doing something. They seem to think they are. People are paying a lot. Miners are getting paid, you know, out the wazoo because fees have gone through the roof. So, you know, it's kind of pushed people back into these other chains to transact online. So, you know, I mean, I still do hold Monero, you know, like a little bit, you know, kind of in that, you know, just in case. And like, if you need to be sure that your privacy is being maintained, and, you know, there's privacy tools on Bitcoin, like Whirlpool, CoinJoin, you know, but those all require multiple transactions. And if it's $10 a transaction and I'm trying to send $100 and this special, you know, Ricochet transaction or this, you know, CoinJoin, that cost me $30, it's not happening.
Right.
So, you know, let's like Mulvad VPN, great VPN. I use it. I recommend it. Mullvad. You don't have an account. They just generate you a number.
Okay.
There is no, you know, Wesley at Gmail on this VPN because you're not really private. If they can, you know, whose VPN is this? Okay. It's Wesley at Gmail. Okay. That's Wesley's, you know? So I use Monero for stuff like that. If I'm buying privacy tools.
Okay.
I don't want to have to worry about, because with Bitcoin, you have your change, you have the history, you know, so unless you have the exact amount, you know, there's complexity behind it. That's not, I mean, it's impossible. I use those tools as well, but when privacy is the most important thing in this transaction, I use Monero because I'm non-technical. I don't want to deal with it. It's convenient. It's cheap and quick. Now, I'm sure if any of my Bitcoin friends are hearing me right now, they're probably, you know, getting ready to pitchforks and torches me, but there's a different, and yes, there has been a lot of the Bitcoin maxi, kind of to go back to your actual question.
Mm-hmm.
That's Twitter.
Okay. You know? And I've been informed that Twitter is not real life.
It sometimes seems like it is, but it's really not, because when you get in the real world, there's real world implications of what you're doing, what you're trying to do. There's trade-offs for everything. So I'm building in the real world.
Hmm.
And, you know, like, I mean, and we don't have Monero sessions. I'm not telling people to buy Monero. You know, we are the Bitcoin Bay Foundation and we focus on building a Bitcoin circular economy. Personally, and for some of these tools, I mean, there's trade-offs to everything. I mean, I'm not going to like use a hammer to screw in something.
Right. But you also you also use US dollars.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I still have a credit card, you know, I store my wealth in Bitcoin and I use it when I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not that available yet. I mean, it's just the state of the network at the moment.
Right.
And the Bitcoin only ethos and mindset is valuable because it protects you from random pump and dumps. You know, like you don't need to be doing these coins. Like just go to the casino and put $100 on black.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be done much faster and you might have a little more fun doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you really want to go for that, you know, that super pump, put it on 28 black. because that's what it is. It's just gambling, you know? So it's not like the Bitcoin maxi mindset was a protective mindset. It kept people from losing their money and it put it in the hardest asset the world's ever seen, you know? So, but is it, what's the ROI looking like these days? It's holding, but you know, I'd say it's probably decreasing. I still don't recommend people, you know, mess around with this stuff, especially if you don't know what's going on. You know, if you're
with
just coming into this
altcoins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't recommend doing it at all. If you're just starting, just buy Bitcoin.
Okay.
Now, how do you do that privately? How do you do that cheaply? How do you do that quickly are where the questions are coming in now.
And that's where you come in.
That is where I try to come in. Yes.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your like exactly what it is that you can do for people that want to at least explore, if not really exploit the Bitcoin system or ecosystem.
Yeah. So, you know, like our kind of bread and butter on like the revenue side is our one-on-one consulting and our group guidance. Mm-hmm. It's our donor guidance program. So we host, you donate at a certain threshold, and then we host weekly donor stewardship calls, which makes sure you're comfortable in your journey and that you're not losing anything. So, you know, for example, you know, we walk through RoboSats, okay, which is a Lightning instead of on-chain, which is necessary right now because of fees. We used to do BISC, but there was 4 transactions required for BISC.
No more BISC.
And at $10 a transaction, unless you're buying like $800 at a time.
Okay.
But for people who are just kind of come in, like, I just want to buy $100. You go on BISC, it's going to cost you $40.
Okay.
You know, because, well, there's so if you're taking the order, there's 3 transactions. If you're making it, there's 1. So, you know, but like at $10 a transaction, I'm buying $100 worth of Bitcoin. That's $30.
So RoboSats is the replacement. I know that there's some people that they're trying to get into RoboSats, and I was trying to learn about it on my own. And like, I went to their website and it's like, I don't understand. So I need to go to BitcoinBay.live, and you're going to literally walk me through it. Like the last episode we did, I said, Wesley, treat me like I'm 7 here. And I think that's what you need to do.
Yes.
When you're getting into it, because otherwise you think you know things that you really don't.
Right.
I'm taking myself for the prime example. Well, BISC was one of the things, but things change.
Right. Yeah. It's a rapidly evolving system. And RoboSats is pretty much the same thing as BISC. It's just done over Lightning. So it's much cheaper, but you have to have a different wallet. You have to have a Lightning wallet instead of just an on-chain wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's invoices and liquidity, and like there's a little bit of weird stuff. So that's kind of where I come in, and I'll help you with that first deposit, because it's generally like 12,000 sats, which is like $16, and you know, helping, you know, get the Lightning wallet set up, stacking through RoboSats. If you're just doing $50 at a time, I mean, you can use Venmo, Zelle, Cash App, Amazon gift cards.
They all integrate.
There's all sorts of stuff. Yeah. So it all depends on, you know, like if I'm making an order, I'm selling $200 worth of Bitcoin, and I will take Venmo, Zelle, Cash App, or Amazon gift cards. You know, it's up to me. And then you take the order and say, all right, I'll do Cash App. And then it's like, okay, here's my cash tag. You pay me. I release the funds. So that's most of what we do, because everyone wants to know how to buy Bitcoin. Everyone wants to get it privately. So we kind of help, you know, just walk through that process and make sure that, you know, you're doing things right and on time, because these do have timers to them, to, you know, make sure people aren't just like locking people's funds up or,
right,
you know, just incentivizing, you know, good behavior.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, where can we send the folks? Is it just bitcoinbay.live? Do you have another page?
Yeah, no, bitcoinbay.live has everything on there. We're gonna be updating it soon with like an our services tab, so that people actually know what we offer. But you can find our Telegram on there, our Twitter on there, our events.
You got a new event coming up?
We do, yes. So aside from our free weekly in-person events, we are having our launch weekend on February 3rd and 4th. So we're going to be having a speaker series, which are, you know, professionals in the space. We'll be having hardware wallet discussion, mining, cybersecurity, home servers. And then in the evening, we are having our first charity gala, the Sound Money Soiree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be, we're hosting at an old bank in downtown Tampa. So it's going to be, you know, a fancy evening, you know, with local food and some local entertainment, and, you know, just a celebration of kind of the grand opening of Bitcoin Bay as the next Bitcoin city, bringing in the industry to show off Tampa and then bringing in Tampa to show off the industry. Like, hey, we're not just a couple of guys hanging out down here. Like, this is a multi-billion dollar industry out there that we need to be attracting here.
Right.
And then on the 4th, we're going to be having the first Florida Beef Initiative Summit. We'll be having that at a local park down here right on the water. Same kind of thing, health professionals, cardiovascular, holistic, ranchers, some economists coming, talking about the state of the beef industry, why it's important to be eating quality beef for your health. We'll be butchering a cow throughout the day and serving that up in between talks.
Wow.
So it's shaped up to be a great weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to find out more about that is bitcoinbay.life also.
Yep. Yeah. Everything's right there on the website. If you use code Mises, okay, you get 10% off. Mm-hmm. It's probably the closest, thing to Tom Woods. and you know, and we are trying to get to old Woods over here since he is not too far from us. So
yeah,
if anybody hears this, make sure you tell him to come.
Yeah. All right. Any last words, Wesley? It's been great. I've learned a lot more. And it's just, you know, little bit at a time gets you mm-hmm. long places. Like we talk about in these groups, in the small groups in the Tom Woods School of Life that we're both involved in, 1% a day growth turns out to be huge. And
right.
I just see it from when I first met you, like this was an idea and now it's
right.
a huge reality. And it's 1% a day probably, right?
Yep.
Yeah, not much more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I could leave it with anything is do not buy the ETF.
Okay.
We didn't even talk about that at all. But don't give BlackRock your money. You know, I don't know if your audience necessarily needs to be told that, but if you want the same thing to happen to Bitcoin that happened to gold, then go ahead and buy it. But just buy Bitcoin. Don't give it to one of these people. Don't give it to Fidelity.
Yeah. Would that be the same as like the whole Coinbase kind of what happened to that? Would that be similar where, you know, you're not in custody of it.
Right. So at least when you bought the coin on Coinbase, mm-hmm. you had a redeemable IOU for Bitcoin.
Okay.
If you buy the ETF, you have nothing. You have a stock. You can't redeem that for Bitcoin. And funny enough, they are using Coinbase as their custodian.
Wow. Okay.
So if you must buy Bitcoin non-privately, buy it on Coinbase and then withdraw it.
But you don't have Swan. To. You don't have to.
No, you don't. You do not have to. There are private ways of doing this. There's peer-to-peer means. Type in on meetup.com Bitcoin and see what comes up. I'm sure there's a meetup near you.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to reach out to me at wesley@bitcoinbay.live, I will try to find you a meetup in your area. I'm plugged in with most of the meetups. You never know who's out there. Don't buy the ETF. It's a bait and switch.
Right. Yeah. And I would just leave one last thing as far as these meetups go. I've never been involved, but the more I hear about them, meetups with any industry or any thing, it's like you get to meet people with like-mindedness and they become your allies. So if you're looking for a job and you're involved in this group, whether it's Bitcoin or whatever else, software development or whatever, these are now your people, and these people will advocate for you. So, I think in many ways, this Tom Woods School of Life that we're both involved in, people advocate for each other
mm-hmm.
and we get the word out, amongst our group, which might, or another group that might not be say totally plugged into what we're doing, but we get the word out. And so this has been great having you and learning more all about, Bitcoin. And we got to get you on again soon. And, maybe after the launch weekend comes up and see how that all goes and where we're heading from there, because it's going to take off like a rocket ship, I believe. So,
yeah, and that's kind of what I'm worried about. we're definitely prepping for that.
Good problem to have.
Like that kind of influx of everyone coming in.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're very excited and I'm happy to come on and talk.
Right.
I mean, we, we barely scratched the surface.
Yeah. Looking at the time and they're like, oh man, a lot of questions. So yeah, we'll have you back on here soon enough and we'll chat down the road. Thanks, Wesley.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Bye.
For more of our podcasts, head on over to briandeoleary.com. And while you're over there, sign up for our email list. We'll send you daily emails. You can also find the link for our Substack page and various other resource pages we have. And that's at briandeoleary.com.